Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. And from Florida State University, ranked in the top 20 among national public universities in the latest U.S. News & World Report. FSU specialty license plates support scholarships for deserving students. More on FSU specialty plates is at fsu.edu/mytag. From the state capitol, WFSU Public Media brings you Capitol Report.
Vice President Mike Pence comes to Florida to shore up critical issue support for President Trump in the I-4 corridor.
The biggest issue is going to be the border wall, securing our borders, keeping us safe, the drug trafficking, the child trafficking.
Also tonight, both U.S. political parties are trying to attract more Hispanic voters to their ranks, and it seems both Democrats and Republicans have their challenges in this regard.
We should represent in policy every single community in the United States.
We'll also check out the continued push by Florida nurse practitioners to expand the realm of what they're legally allowed to do when it comes to patient care. It's the end of the first week of the Florida lawmaking session. I'm Tom Flanagan, and this is Capitol Report. With a long weekend looming, the Florida Capitol is a nearly abandoned place today, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of significant news being made elsewhere. Vice President Mike Pence made his first campaign trip of the year to Florida yesterday. He was targeting voters in the highly competitive I-4 corridor. His stops in Tampa and Kissimmee are a sign of who President Trump's re-election campaign is targeting: older voters and Hispanic residents. WUSF's Steve Newborn and WMFE's Brendan Byrne asked voters attending yesterday's event about the issues that matter to them. We start in Tampa.
So many people tried to get into the event center in New Tampa that more than 50 had to be turned away. Some of the older, mostly white crowd who made it inside were as fervent about opposing Democrats as they were about supporting the president. Mike Grellis, a Navy veteran living in Parrish in Manatee County, sported a gray beard under a Trump wool cap atop his cowboy hat. He says he backs what he thinks Democrats don't: supporting veterans and keeping fracking for oil going, and...
The biggest issue is going to be the border wall, securing our borders, keeping us safe, the drug trafficking, the child trafficking.
Lisa Wallace of Tampa, a self-described snowbird from Michigan, is worried about her vote not counting.
I am just concerned about the voting. I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to cheat. However they can do it, that's what is my concern, is they're going to try it.
Mary Sylvester of Wesley Chapel says she wants President Trump to be taking care of the working class for another 4 years.
Just making sure that Donald Trump is reelected. I think he's awesome for the country, and he cares for the people of the United States and the veterans.
I'm Steve Newborn in Tampa.
And I'm Brendan Byrne in Kissimmee. Just 20 miles from Orlando, where Trump announced his re-election campaign last summer, Vice President Pence was appealing to the region's large population of Latino voters. At a Latinos for Trump event at the Nacion de Fe Church in Kissimmee, the vice president touted the administration's aid to Puerto Rico, recognizing Juan Guaido as the interim president of Venezuela, and building an economy that supports more jobs and higher incomes for Latino Americans. For Gian Ruiz, a 28-year-old Army veteran, it's that strong economy that got his support.
So whatever brings work and jobs and helps the economy and helps Latinos in this country is something I'll always support.
Arbert Esperon, a business owner who moved to Florida from Puerto Rico, supports the president's efforts to protect the economy.
I also support his policies of how to protect the American people from the instruction of all the countries like China, what they were doing, stealing our intellectual property and all that stuff. I support all those policies. Those are common sense policies.
In his speech, Pence touted the administration's commitment to securing the border. That got the attention of Richard Marrero.
I want immigrants to come to our country, but I think it should be done fair. There's a process in place. It's been in place for as long as I know, and it's just not fair that people are cutting in front of other people that are in the line.
Osceola County Democrats protested outside the event, waving Puerto Rican flags and blowing whistles. Frank Rivera Martinez wants his community to never forget the administration's delayed response to natural disasters.
So don't tell me that you love my people when they're sleeping underground, mattresses underground in the open, because they haven't responded yet for requests for help. Don't tell lies.
I'm Brendan Byrne in Kissimmee.
Republicans and Democrats want to lay claim to Florida's Latino and Hispanic voters. Republicans have been hard at work trying to paint Democrats as socialists. That's a loaded word in many Latino communities. Adriana Thomas reports Latino and Hispanic voters have been divided in recent years.
Venezuelan American activist Ernesto Ackerman says the divided vote is a result of several Democrats pushing socialist ideas.
And we know what socialism can do in a country.
The Latino vote is divided in several ways. Ackerman says Puerto Ricans and younger Latinos lean more towards Democrats, while Cubans, Venezuelan Americans, and older Latinos tend to be more conservative. Hialeah Republican Manny Diaz says that schism comes from a lack of knowledge.
Alliance. So the farther removed you are from that, the harder it is for newer generations to understand. And so socialism may sound cool, you know, to some of these, because they have a different view of it. They think it's the sharing and helping people out. That's all great. That could all happen in our system today because you do it voluntarily, not because the government came and took something you earned and gave it to somebody else. I mean, that's where we start entering the problem.
Diaz is sponsoring a bill in the legislature called Renouncing Democratic Socialism. Diaz's family is Cuban American. A study conducted by the Edison Research for the National Election Pool determined Cubans within the state of Florida were twice as likely to vote for President Donald Trump than non-Cuban Latinos. Teacher and activist Mari Corujedo has a different take. She says the Latino community is looking for political candidates to address the needs of their community and the U.S. as a whole.
But it's about making things that are safe for all communities, not just for those that you think you should be represent, and we should represent in policy every single community in the United States.
She doesn't believe socialism should define how people vote and believes if candidates want to appeal to Hispanics and Latinos, they should focus on education, healthcare, and voters' rights. Corujedo believes those issues will influence how Latinos and Hispanics vote in November. I'm Adriana Thomas.
Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis has heard from troubled teens struggling with depression, anguished homeowners whose dwellings were decimated by Hurricane Michael, and first responders trying to remain stoic after horrific disasters. The listening sessions are part of DeSantis' focus on initiatives to help Florida students, professionals, and families cope with mental health problems and substance abuse. As part of those efforts, the First Lady recently launched the Hope Ambassador Mentorship Program. That's aimed at encouraging kindness in school children by rewarding them for showing compassion to their peers. She's also created the Hope for Healing campaign that pulls in various state resources to help youths and families avert drug addiction and address mental health issues. The goal, she says, is removing the stigma associated with mental health problems. Florida's current state budget includes $75 million for mental health services at schools. The governor's budget proposal for next year would increase that amount to $100 million. Florida's Aerospace Agency has launched a new front in its effort to make the Sunshine State more enticing as a potential player in the nation's up-and-coming Space Force. The Space Florida Board of Directors this week approved $200,000 for Satellite Beach-based GTOPS Incorporated, a veteran-owned business that provides facility support services to further showcase how military bases and businesses in the state are capable of training and equipping President Donald Trump's new military branch. If you can't make the articulate arguments for what capabilities you've got to support missions, you'll never get those mission assignments. Those were the words from Space Florida President and CEO Frank DiBello. He said that after Thursday's meeting in Tallahassee. Still to come on Capitol Report, a move to let nurse practitioners work independently is moving quickly through the House, but may face roadblocks in the Senate.
I've always been very cautious about letting certain groups achieve legislatively what was not achieved academically.
And the most important education has been deemed to be the earliest education. But many educators are having trouble convincing parents of that fact.
I don't think there is a value placed on the importance of kindergarten, for one. That's where we have a lot of our absences and tardies.
After years of pushing for the change, a plan to expand the scope of nurse practitioners is a priority for the Speaker of the Florida House. But as Regan McCarthy reports, the Senate president says he's not quite convinced.
House Speaker Jose Oliva kicked off the first day of the legislative session by touting the work of nurse practitioners.
Members, since the 1960s, the House has maintained a tradition of naming the doctor of the day. Last year, the tradition was modernized with a telehealth connection. And this year, Dr. Casarino enables us to break new ground by serving as the first nurse practitioner of the day. We are proud to have you here with us. Thank you.
Oliva introduced Doreen Casarino, a nurse practitioner from Naples, as the chamber's first doctor of the day for the 2020 legislative session. He says allowing nurse practitioners, many with doctorates in nursing, to practice independently will lower costs and increase access to care.
Allowing advanced nurse practitioners to practice independently will have immediate positive effects on access and affordability. Members, it is truly a stain upon a state that prides itself on leading to even humor talk of patient safety coming from interest groups, when we know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, of its safety and of its efficacy.
It's an issue Oliva says he plans to put his full strength behind, and a measure to do that is already moving forward in his chamber, with just one committee stop left to go.
607 is my scope bill. You've all probably heard it. This is the 19th time I've presented this. This grants a pathway to independent practice for qualifying APRNs and PAs.
That's Sebring Republican Senator Kerry Pigman. He says advanced nurse practitioners and physician assistants spend years studying and training just like doctors.
I would be remiss if I don't talk about the quality of care. That invariably comes up. Simply put, there are no data that suggest APRNs or PAs are unsafe or inferior in providing primary care.
Nurse practitioner and physician assistant have very limited hours of training. We have over 1,600 hours of training.
That's David Farsi, a doctor and board member of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine. He says another concern is that allowing nurse practitioners to work independently will result in fewer doctors. That's because he says nurses earn considerably less than doctors and represent a far cheaper labor force for hospitals.
A nurse practitioner in the state of Florida right now in emergency medicine will get $55 to $75 an hour. A physician set $175 to $240 an hour. So for any contract groups, it's very easy to replace them. We're seeing this all across the country. It just happened. I just wrote a paper on this in Irshman, where they fired 17 physicians to be replaced by all nurse practitioners. I think this is bad for patient care. We're not, you know, we need to work together side by side. And not independently.
Senate President Bill Galvano says he's hesitant to embrace the proposal in his chamber. During a press conference following the opening day remarks, Galvano said he would cautiously consider Oliva's push to give nurse practitioners a larger scope of practice.
When I look at healthcare, it's a three-legged stool. Certainly cost is one leg of the stool, and we have to be very cognizant about it. But you also have access, and then you have quality. And so we're going to measure all of those aspects. I've always been very cautious about letting certain groups achieve legislatively what was not achieved academically.
Last year, Pigman's bill passed in the full House. The Senate referred the measure to committees where it later died without a hearing. I'm Regan McCarthy.
Thank you. When Fort Lauderdale author Dawn Davies moved to South Florida as a child, she wasn't really a big fan of the place. She writes about her love-hate relationship with Florida in her latest book, Mothers of Sparta, A Memoir in Pieces. The book's a collection of essays, and it's this month's pick for the Sundial Book Club. In her essays, she talks about postpartum depression, her love for music, her parents' divorce, and raising a child with special needs. Davies talked to WLRN host Luis Hernandez on the station's Sundial program.
The early essays are about you as a child. One of the things that we learn is you moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I loved, for example, how you described it. Basically, it's the day would come, you walked in, your parents are sitting there, let's talk. And it was, well, we're about to move again.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot?
It did happen a lot. My dad was he was with a company and he kept moving up in the ranks of this company. And they just, every 2 years.
So you never had the chance to like really build friendships anywhere because you had to leave eventually.
I did. And I think about that a lot too, because, it's going to sound terrible on air. I don't have a lot of friends and I don't care. I have some really good friends and the friends who I have know who they are, but I don't need to see everybody. I had one best friend one time, and then by high school it was done. And I don't know, I feel like it made me go inward, and that contributed to my type of thinking, which contributed to my obsessive reading, which contributed to my desire to write. So I think it turned me into who I am now. I guess it's okay, but it was tough as a kid.
People who live in Florida, a lot of people were transients. Mm-hmm. We came here from somewhere else, mm-hmm. and you just end up here. But it's always that, well, what's your impression when you get to Florida? And it's always interesting. And you had this beautiful way of describing, because you had gone from Virginia to New York, then you went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That first impression of Florida for you wasn't really pleasurable.
No, it wasn't, because I was angry we were leaving. I didn't know anything
about
Florida.
And you did it in the winter, right?
We did it in the winter. So my parents moved us during the winter break so I could start at a new school fresh in the January semesters. But I got here like, what is this place? This place, these aren't trees. What is this? It looks like Dr. Seuss, right? And it smelled funny and it was so hot and my hair did bad things. And so, yeah, it took a while, but it grew on me slowly.
Okay, let's do a little reading from the book. And this is from the essay, Three Places. Before you jump in, just tell me a little bit about what you're going to read here.
Okay, so this essay is about moving around a lot and moving from place to place and having a connection with the places where I lived. I really care very much about how things smell, how they look, how the outside feels, what the wind sounds like. That all resonates with me. So even as a kid, I was really interested in going out in the woods and feeling the nature of a place, right? So it talks about the nature of these places, plus the nature of the people in those places. And then by the third place, we get to Florida, and it's when I first moved here. And it's just a geographic and social shock to move in.
All right, I'll move out of the way and let you read.
Your mother moves into a small, cheap apartment on the other side of town, and you, your body, your mind, your soul, feel as empty as the house you are left to live in. When you come home from school late, the house is empty, the lights are off, and there's no more promise of meatloaf or casserole in the air. But instead, mildew and dust, which have been waiting for the right opportunity to take hold and strangle you. In Florida, the outside is always trying to get in, and dank Florida smells are everywhere you go, stifling and wet and spongy. Pool chlorine and suntan oil and salty air and fish. Black tar heating on the ribbons of suburban driveways. Gardenia and night jasmine that make you wheeze. It is unbearably hot everywhere you go. Hot like you think hell would be hot. In fact, you begin to suspect that you are in hell. Your head is so chronically stuffy that you begin to lose your balance when you stand up. Once in desperation, you take a Benadryl before school, and this makes you so sluggish that you fall asleep while watching a film strip in biology. The room is dark and warm, and you nosedive off the high metal stool and hit your face on the floor. Your lip splits. You are the lady shaver again.
That was author Dawn Davies talking to WLRN host Luis Hernandez. There's a short break in the action at the Florida Capitol as we hear from Gina Jordan.
Here's what's coming up at the Capitol. All will be quiet in the legislature on Monday in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. On Tuesday, a Senate committee will consider a bill to create conditional sentences for substance abuse offenders and those with mental health problems. Also in the Senate, a bill would implement recommendations of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Commission. The group has been meeting for months around the state to come up with suggested school safety measures. A House Agriculture panel will consider establishing a statewide Office of Resiliency and creating a statewide sea level rise task force. Also in the House, a bill would make the cost of services negotiated between insurers and healthcare providers more transparent. Another bill would repeal funding for the state's sports development program. The legislature created the program in 2014 to help build, renovate, or improve professional sports facilities. But no facilities or applicants have been approved, and no funding has been doled out. That's some of what's happening next week at the Capitol. I'm Gina Jordan.
The Florida Supreme Court will hear arguments come April 1st in a dispute about how much State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company should pay to a firm that provided MRI services to auto accident victims. The Supreme Court issued an order today scheduling arguments in the case that pits State Farm against MRI Associates of Tampa, which does business as Park Place MRI. The Second District Court of Appeals in 2018 ruled in favor of State Farm in the case, which centered on 19 MRI claims for people who were hurt in car accidents in 2013 and had personal injury protection coverage. You're listening to Capitol Report from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally tonight, Governor Ron DeSantis made it clear during his State of the State speech earlier this week that education was something he planned to take seriously this session and hoped lawmakers would do the same. Well, kindergarten's a crucial time for children transitioning from home to school life. During this time, students learn fundamentals that help them become successful in the grades ahead. However, some teachers worry parents aren't taking kindergarten seriously, and they say that can hamper a kid's educational development. Sharnika Streeter has more.
All right. Put your finger on the sailboat. Good job. Finger on the sailboat.
At Pineview Elementary, students are learning to associate words with pictures. Principal Carmen Connor understands the severity of what missing school can do to students. However, she doesn't believe everyone else does.
I don't think there is a value placed on the importance of kindergarten, for one. That's where we have a lot of our absences and tardies.
In Florida, children who are six or older on or before February 1st must attend school regularly. That can be done through private school, public school, virtual school, or even homeschooling. But student attendance isn't consistent, and Oak Ridge Elementary School Principal Jasmine Smith believes that missing school and being tardy hinders a student's learning and makes it hard for those students to catch up to their peers.
If you have boys and girls that are tardy, let's say they're 30 minutes late school. So if I'm 30 minutes late every day, in a week, that means that I've missed 150 minutes of instruction.
In Leon County, students aren't retained due to absenteeism. However, missing many school days can create major learning gaps for students.
If I multiply that times a month, then times the 180 days of a school year, for some children, you almost might, you didn't even need to come to school for the first month or so.
In Leon County, nearly 2,800 kindergartners were absent from school during the 2017-18 academic school year, totaling about 30,000 missed school days. That absenteeism has a direct correlation to school performance. Also in that year, Pineview, Oak Ridge, and Bond Elementary all received a school letter grade of a D or below. That same year, each school experienced a high rate of absences from kindergartners. That's according to data from the Leon County School District. Schools like Gilcrest, Roberts, and Hawk Rise had lower averages of absences and all earned a school grade of an A. Teachers and school officials say that when it's raining, a little chilly, or even when kids have a small cough, some parents find that as an excuse not to send their children to school. In Pine View's Connor says there are two specific days of the week when most kindergartners tend to be absent.
On Mondays and Fridays, our students are absent most frequently on those days.
Sable Palms kindergarten teacher Judy Volpe has spent 3 decades in education.
And I tell my parents they have to be here. And I know sometimes they have a little cold. Well, you can't keep them home for a little cold. They're running a fever, they're throwing up, or anything else. Yes, keep them home. But we got the sniffles. Mom, you can't keep them home for sniffles because they'd be home all year long.
Volpe says the kindergarten we see now is very different from the kindergarten many of us formerly experienced. And Pine View's Connor explains.
The kindergarten of today is like the first grade of today, whereas when we were in school, it was we played house and we did colors. It's not that kindergarten anymore.
Now, kindergartners are taught as if they are first graders. They learn to read, formulate sentences using sight words, and identify meanings of sight words according to the Language Arts Florida standards. When students enter the third grade, they are expected to perform well on state standardized tests that will determine not only if they can progress to the next grade, but also factors into their school's letter grade. A low school letter grade runs the risk of having a school shut down. Although most of a child's day is spent in the classroom, in order for them to become successful learners, the work starts at home. Volpe encourages parents to spend time with their children working on literacy.
The one thing I'm finding with the children nowadays, parents are not reading with them. I've had to go all the way back and teach my children how to look at a book from the left page to the right page. And when I ask them, how many of your mommies and daddies read to you? I had 3 children raise their hand, and I was appalled.
Absenteeism is an ongoing issue for many elementary schools. Kindergartners tend to have the most missed days of any grade. Education is an important factor in a child's upbringing, and going to school every day helps kids to retain the information better, but it also teaches routine. I'm Sharonika Streeter.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Ryan Daly, Blaise Gainey, Robbie Gaffney, Lynn Hatter, Gina Jordan, and Regan McCarthy. Thanks also to Steve Newborn, Brendan Byrne, Adriana Thomas, and Sharnika Streeter. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us every weeknight at this time throughout the 2020 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. For more information about Capitol Report and to hear previous episodes, visit WFSU.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: a grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. And from Florida State University, ranked in the top 20 among national public universities in the latest U.S. News and World Report. FSU specialty license plates support scholarships for deserving students. More on FSU specialty plates is at fsu.edu/mytag.